Hello and welcome to a podcast which is all about the Irish League. My name is Peter Cinnamon and the Boxing Day games of 2023 are now in the books. Plenty of festive cheer across the league, which of course meant there was an equal amount of disappointment for those who didn't get a derby win as a last minute stocking filler. The title chasing three all showed their championship credentials as they slayed their closest rivals in front of huge crowds, but there was big moments at the bottom of the table too where we saw our latest management casualty. So grab that leftover sandwich, snag some peace away from the in-laws as we cover another bumper week of Irish League action on Kicking Match. Coming to you from the not-so-glamorous location that is the spare room in my folks' house. We're back, we're post-Boxing Day, and we're here to deliver you, even despite the festive break, I know you need that weekly Irish League chat fix. I'm here like that leftover box of celebrations just for a little bit more. When you know you thought you've had enough, just that wee little tasty treat. And to bring it in, to really create the party atmosphere, I'm making it a trio. I've been hyping it up over the past few weeks. If you don't know, now you need to know. Welcome back to the podcast from Around the Grounds NI. First, it's the homebird swan, Ross Welsh.
Glad tidings, Peter.
Glad tidings indeed. And right beside him is the Red Robin, Joe McCallion.
Good to see you, Peter. Keep well.
Good stuff all round. Alas, I have not been able to avoid the Christmas festive plague of going out and mixing it up in bars in the lead up to Christmas. So if I sound dosed, that's because I am. But the power of paracetamol and ibuprofen will inspire me on. Mix in a bit of a coffee and here we go. But you know what? There's plenty of things to get excited about. There's plenty of things to rile me up going into this podcast. And we've got to start with the highest attended game in the Irish League in a couple of years. Bumper crowd down at the National Stadium. And like it seems to have been for years and years and years when the Bell Classico was hosted on Boxing Day at Windsor Park, it ends up with a day that is very good for Blue Men. Ross, out of 10, how buzzing were you after that 2-0 victory?
Oh, a solid 12. Boxing Day is just the best day of the year, isn't it? Especially when I'm here at home, because you just know, non-event, we're going to win. We'll have a good time for a couple of hours, and then we'll head home, and the Glen Men will head home, head in hands, back to East Belfast, Christmas ruined.
It didn't really feel like Glentoran turned up to that game. Which is weird because you compare it to the last time you guys played and Glentoran ran away with it. And you'd think they would have that little bit of confidence in their back pocket going, we've done them once, let's do them on their home turf. And they just didn't.
Bernie laid a glove. I can't really remember a shot on target from the Glens. Shane McCartan had a good chance at 1-0. Header that went just wide, but apart from that, I wasn't really worried. In contrast to before the game, I was quite nervous. I thought 4-0 Glens had more than had our number last time, but I think that's looking just more and more like a bit of a flash in the pan, a freak performance on both sides. Yeah, they didn't even look like scoring at any point, and once it hit 2-0, we took our foot off the gas and coasted home.
What was it like being at Windsor, not being a cup game or anything like that, but to just be surrounded on all corners by fans? Do you felt like it added to this one-of-a-kind atmosphere?
Oh, 100%. And, you know, the displays that the club and Blue Unity organised at the start definitely added to the spectacle of it all. And, you know, even just looking around and thinking, this just looks like what a stadium should look like, which obviously isn't the case often at Windsor, but it definitely added to it. And, you know, I've seen players come out on social media saying it was a great crowd and a great atmosphere. And it's hard to look past that in terms of atmosphere for Linfield games I've been at, outside of, you know, your cup finals or European games, definitely.
It's what everybody talks about. We talk about Boxing Day all year round and the crowd it brings and the special occasion. And it's a nice time to bring people who are either Laps fans or they're people that don't regularly go to the games. And there was a chance that you bring out a big crowd and you disappoint them, but Linfield have been able to shake off the past few weeks where it feels like they've been on roller skates at times, and they dispatched their rivals when the pressure was on. And there was probably a moment for you where you thought, this might not be our day, when Amber Carey gives away a penalty for Glen Torren. Surely I'm not the only one thinking, teenager Reese Annette stepping up to take this?
Yeah, it was a strange one. He seemed to grab the ball straight away, and there was no taking it off.
He's in good form at the minute. You know, he's banging in the goals. But that's a big moment that was resting on his shoulders.
Big moment. I don't think it was an awful penalty. Bit of a savable height. But I think McCurry does well to get over to it. And, you know, as you say, people started to worry a wee bit after the ground went a wee bit flat for 5 minutes just after, because it's obviously such a high winning the penalty. But never panicked the team, that is. And I was certainly panicking. Thank God I wasn't on the pitch. But never really was in doubt, especially once that first goal went in. I think real confident from there. But yeah, as you say, definitely the atmosphere dipped a wee bit and you could tell nerves. But then it didn't seem to affect the players at all. They clearly went in with a bit of a plan and thought, you know, we'll just continue to execute rather than panicking now that we've missed what is essentially just a good chance.
10 points out of their last four games coming into this game for the Glens. This had been somewhat of a mini revival for Warren Feeney's men. This defeat further creates that gap between them and what is really now an established top three in the title race. Joel, if you were a Glen Torren fan, I know you're not, where does this leave you headspace wise between now and the end of the season? Because title, maybe even automatic European qualification, just looks out of reach unless we see a mega turnaround between now and the end of the season.
It's a bit of a strange one for them, but it's not somewhere, you know, it's somewhere that they've been before. Even similar stage at this point last season where they started so well, then they just sort of fell apart. I've seen Glen Torren a couple of times this year. Apart from not really scoring goals, it's hard to sort of look at them and see what's clearly wrong. There's a lot of, again, unrest between the fans. Obviously, talking about Feeney, and it was the same last year with the manager. So, I mean, it's not looking great for them. As you said, it's a bit of a clear top three now. They're, what, 13 points behind us, I think. So it's not looking good for them.
I do think, looking at that game, that striker really stood out as an area that just did not seem to be working for them. Any attacks that came from Glen Torren were these frantic breakaways, and any time even the ball came to an attacker in the box in particular, they didn't feel confident. They were trying to fire away these pot shots that from a bit far out, or they were just looking for somebody else to take the ball on. That screams to me it's an attacking line lacking in confidence, overawed by the occasion. And on that performance, you can see why people are looking to, there's an area they need to strengthen. It's in that striker role. And that might feel harsh on the likes of Jay Donnelly, where this is not, the numbers previously state that he is a quality Irish League striker, but it's not working for him, be it the shape or just the mix up between other players. Junior is a nice piece. He complements others really well. And when he is scoring, Glen Torren look to have done well, but he isn't knocking in week out. It's hard to see where they'll find the striker from. Is it going to be a Jamie McGonigal? Perhaps if he wants to leave Derry. Everybody needs a striker, but between now and the end of the season, Glen Torren will want to try and just sort out that forward line, because they do have injuries in different areas of the pitch, but I don't think people are looking at Aaron Whiteman or Fisher and thinking these are the players that are letting the club down. In fact, they are one of the few real positives for the Glens this season, having these young players emerge.
Yeah, 100%. There's definitely quality in that Glens team as well. Like, as you say there, Junior and Jay, like, there's goals in them. But for a striker, when your confidence is low, it's just tough. And the more you go on not really hitting that good form, the harder it gets. So whether it is that they need to bring in someone else in January, who that is, as you say, you know, who's out there that they could really bring in, or whether it's Feeney sticks by them and just hopes that they break into a bit of form. As you say, the players around them, they're good. The quality's there. They can supply them. So it'd be interesting to see in the next couple of weeks sort of what happens.
And I'm sure many people will feel massively disappointed just due to the occasion. It'll feel like a real gut punch if you're a Glentoran fan because it's Limfield, because of the way the game played out. But it's not total panic stations, because the management team were able to turn it around in recent weeks, and they are going against the best team in the league right now. They are leading for a reason, so they've got a feel as they're going to dust themselves down, get players in areas that will help them improve, and there's cups competitions, there's everything else. League isn't over yet, so they'll be taking it in that week at a time, I think, or game at a time, I think, will be a real catchphrase for Glentoran going forward. Let's talk about some of the stars for Linfield there on Boxing Day. Great delivery from Kirk Miller on the free kick. Ben Hall, bullet header if I ever saw one. And we talk about Glentoran striking issues. When you have someone like Matthew Fitzpatrick, who hasn't been banging them in, week out, he's taken a bit of time to find himself in that team, but I thought it was a really nice takedown. He shimmies, gets onto his right foot, and he has time and space to curl it in, and those are oftentimes the difference between a team who is going to win the league and a team who isn't.
Fitzpatrick, I think that's his best game I've seen him have for Linfield, definitely. He ran the show up there, he bullied their centre halves at times, brought others into play. Kirk Miller, that was a real renaissance performance from him. He played sort of like a inverted sort of Trent Alexander-Arnold role from the right, and he bossed that midfield. And then Jamie Mulgrew, just a proper vintage Jamie Mulgrew performance, that drawing fouls, bringing play together. It looked like he was 10 years younger than he is. And the Glens midfield struggled to cope with it all day. You know, Glentoran, on paper, probably the best squad in the league, but certainly up there, top three anyway. And Linfield really struggling with injuries at the minute. And it just shows that the sum of Linfield's parts is greater than their individuals. And the Glens would be the opposite, playing within themselves, playing as individuals. Whereas, you know, Healy's got a system going there. He's bringing the youth through as well. Just shows what you can do. And maybe the managerial situation is playing in that.
Four wins in a row, the pressure's on because Lauren are snapping at the Blues' heels. You've got out of this patch with significant injuries, relatively unscathed. Let's talk about Reesonette. I know he misses the penalty, but he has been one of the batch of young players who have emerged. Do you see him keeping his place with Chris McKee, getting back up to fitness? Or could he be more of a rotational role between now and the end of the season?
I think McKee will come back into the squad and Annette will rotate, but talk about a great option to have off the bench, you know, running at tired legs and all that. He knows where the back of the net is, and he's shown that the last few weeks. He scored a couple of good goals and, you know, good options to have. You know, Fitzpatrick, as good as he was yesterday, he's not the option for every game. You know, a target man isn't particularly suited to certain opponents. So, you know, great if you've got either Annette or McKee buzzing around him. I think that'll be a real handful for defences to coming up.
At the start of the season, spoke in this podcast about how Fitzpatrick seemed to enjoy times when he's given that main man leader role, and it wasn't particularly in sync his game when it came to McKee, and McKee was getting all those goals, and perhaps McKee's time out of the team has given Fitzpatrick the chance, yes, to settle, but to establish himself as the man who the pressure's on to get the goals. And as you said, it was his best performance. We are only days away from January, and usually come January, it's a time where every other club that isn't a rival for the title is calling up the likes of Linfield saying, can I have young player X? I've talked in this podcast over the past few weeks about the emergence or the reliance on not only Annette, but we've seen Doherty shine, Josh Archer's been getting into the side, Bryn Graham, what a goal he got against Lorne. Do you see them being key players now, especially with injuries, that they'll stick around between now and the end of the season? They'll play their role in keeping this title run going? Or do you see now that Linfield have, well, it's in their hands ultimately, there's plenty of games to go, do you think David Healy will look now to say, we need to reinforce our bench? Because it's a very young bench looking now. And if they got to win the title, then congratulations. But I'm sure come February and March, and look, David Healy's already complaining about these games coming thick and fast. Do you think this will be the January in the image of what Lauren did last season, where Dave Healy goes, we're in this now, I need experience.
Yeah, I think that's what he has to be saying to the board. In an ideal world, these younger players are going out on loan down the leagues a little bit. You know, Josh Archer last year at the Ports, and then he played well against Coleraine, and he didn't look out of place yesterday. So, you know, obviously that helps. But we just, as it stands, we can't afford to send these players out on loan because you're just left with no one. At that point, the squad's stretched pretty thin as it is. You know, Robbie McDay coming back, that'll be a big boost. Scored a couple for the Swifts the other week. But I just think the squad is too sparse at the minute to be sending them out on loan without getting other players in. But then who do you get in? That's the other question.
It's just now where we are, where we have now professional teams in the league, usually be a bit more clear and go, well, if Linfield are after anybody, it would be insert player here from lower down in the league. But we've seen with the likes of Ewan Easton and many others, oftentimes they are now shopping in a completely different area in the market, and they're oftentimes unknowns, or it will be players from the League of Ireland. So it could be a very interesting time now for both, actually, any team that's fighting for the title. Of just, it's a copycat league at times, and because Lauren were so successful with their January business, others will say, if we don't do this, we are letting ourselves down. I want to bring this up because this stood out to me, and perhaps it was more of a throwaway comment rather than a big statement. It was David Healy in an interview. It was reported by Stephen Crawford in Belfast Live online, and it was an interview where he, their reporting here, has blasted the decision to rearrange Linfield's fixture with Crusaders for January 2nd. The game, as we've talked about in this podcast, was scheduled for mid-November, and because Linfield had two players away with under-21s, it was rearranged. David Healy is pretty much frustrated with the fact that now he's playing all these games. We had Tuesday there, Saturday, which will be the 30th, and then the 2nd again. Do you sympathise for him, or is this a case where they have to just take their medicine? They decided to rearrange the game, or they proposed the idea, and they skipped out a weekend, and it has to be played somewhere, somehow.
Yeah, 100%. We chose to postpone the game, and you know, at the time, people were looking at the decision. The Crews were on a bit of a lull. Could have been all right anyway, but I just think that is a bonkers place to put that game. Considering there should have been games on the 1st, that just shows how congested this little period is. And, you know, Crews at home to Carrick on Saturday, we're away to Lorne. You know, slightly different preparations there. And then I think it could have waited. There was no need to just throw it in straight away as soon as possible. You know, slim odds, but both teams might go out of the cup. Or, you know, there's plenty of Tuesdays in the rest of the month where you could slot a game in rather than just, here's about 14 games in a month. But, you know, it's, I suppose, rules are rules and all that. But I just think it's a silly time to put the game in.
Everyone against Linfield here, is it?
Well, it always is. But it always is.
We are going to change course ever so slightly and go to the team at the bottom of the league, as news broke minutes after the games on Boxing Day that manager Gary Boyle, Newry manager Gary Boyle, stepped down from his post. It, I think, took a lot of people by surprise because he had been in the post only since May, but he was up front. He's done plenty of interviews with club media as well with the radio, saying that essentially he was a man that felt like the pressure had gotten to him quite personally. Obviously, he's a man who's been with the club for a long, long time, and they're sitting bottom of the league, especially with that win for Ballymena, 3 points off. They've conceded 55 goals this year, lost 3 in a row. Under his tenureship, they didn't win once at home in the league. In fact, they're still waiting for their first win at home since all the way back against Carrick Rangers in, I believe, October 2022, so they've gone the entire year without winning at home in the league. And it's surprising because it's not really clear who would be in the frame next, but were you surprised when you heard the news that Gary Boyle had decided he no longer was going to be manager of Newry City?
I think it was, as you say, like it's not good reading there, some of those stats. It's clear that Nuri were having a poor season. You know, he was struggling, but with more time, he could have been the right guy. Who else really is maybe going to do a better job in that position at the moment? It's a bit unfortunate that it wasn't, you know, a few months longer for him before he decided to step down. It's never nice to see someone resign, you know, to be feel like they're in that position where they feel like they need to step away. But it'll be interesting to see who they get in next, you know, whether it was a managerial issue if someone comes in and does a far better job there.
12 game winless run for them, 10 defeats, 2 draws in that time. This was, I believe, Gary Boyle's first time in the hot seat, was his first premiership job, and he had the unenviable task of following on from a legend at that club in Darren Mullen. He had been there for 10 years. He had brought them from the absolute depths and brought them up to the top flight. Twice actually, and it was a really big job. He brought a lot of players in during the summer transfer window, but it really just fallen off a cliff in recent times. It is so difficult in this league now when you're down there at the bottom. We've seen a big club like Portadown, a couple of bad transfer windows and management changes, and they're completely out of the league. So for Newry having to deal with that long shadow that was cast by Darren Mullen, especially when you're being promoted from that staff, it's unusual that you have a lot of success stories where people step up, and it's the whole thing. You never want to be the one that follows the legend. You want to be the person that follows the person that followed the legend. Broadly talking, people across the league, some people have suggested the likes of Michael O'Connor stepping up there. I guess a part of it as well is when you look at how Steve McDonald's been able to completely change that Glenavon side, you can see where perhaps fans were looking at that and going, we need to make the change here. I think it's ultimately a sad story for anybody to hear. I think as fans, we've all been guilty of letting our frustrations known to players or to managers when things aren't going well, but you could really see that this was a person who was being impacted by it.
Yeah, I think you could tell he obviously cared, and I don't know if it's a slight on his managerial ability, but just 10 years or so with the previous manager and then promoting with from within, things might have just got a wee bit stale and needed a change that way. And maybe that's obviously hindsight's 20/20. You could have looked at that when they were choosing a replacement, but you know, as you say, it's tough to follow that act. And you know, like they started okay. But it's just that barn home run. And, you know, with that pitch, it's not great. You really need to be making that a fortress, especially, you know, when the big boys come, make it difficult for them. But obviously, they just haven't done that for over a year now. And it's hard as, you know, you mentioned Portadown. It's sort of similar to the Niall Curry situation last year. Are you getting someone in to, you know, here, give this a go? But realistically, we're maybe prepping for the championship next year. But maybe Newry fans won't like hearing that. But it certainly looks like it's going that way now that Ballymena are getting into a wee bit of form.
The only thing I would say is just to try and keep it somewhat positive for Newry fans is they're not completely out of, you know, it's only, we're in December. They're what, 6 points from safety, 3 points from the playoff. It's not like we're looking, you know, 1 point at this point of the season or they're, you know, really struggling. It's obviously a bit, you know, sort of docile on the pitch, but if a good manager comes in and can maybe change up that team or does some sort of business in January, I think what's tough is, as Ross says there, are you getting in a manager that's going to be able to keep you up or getting in a manager that's going to prep for the championship? I mean, what's the mindset?
And of course, despite Dungannon's really great run recently, they're only 6 points behind them. If Newry can go to Stagmore Park on Saturday and win, then they've clawed them back to 3 points. Before the season, I think many people looked at that Newry side and said they got safety, they avoided any sort of relegation playoff or even the relegation zone last year. They looked to have got better. They always had struggles at the back. And looking at that game against Glenavon on Tuesday, I mean, there was just some very poor defending. I know it was later on in the game and they were already 3-0 down, but there's just something really almost juvenile about the defending for that final goal, where all four defenders are running away towards their own goal. They're barely past the halfway line, and Isaac Bird has the ball, and he's able to pass it straight through. Prendergast is able to beat his man, and no one's there to front up and stop that ball going anywhere, and he's able to poke it past Maguire. The other side of this, of course, on the day is what a brilliant victory for Glenavon on what's been an unbelievable run. He didn't get the motor running straight away for McDonald, but he's been able to take this clay that was that Glenavon side, who I thought was going to be in the relegation fight all year. And they're up there now, 3 points off Corian. And they haven't had the best run in the league recently, but their performances have been great. They've tightened up at the back. They're getting goals now. And I think come January, they've got a few players coming in. They're back to what their aim was at the start of the season. Seventh. Or try and push on and get sixth. They're one of the more exciting teams in the league right now.
I think sixth is so doable just with Corian's current run of form. And, you know, you don't look at the league table for a while and then all of a sudden you see Glenavon are above Loughgall, who I assumed were knocking on the door of sixth, like the media's darlings this year. And nothing against Loughgall, great team, but all of a sudden Glenavon are just getting right up there. And then, you know, right behind Carrick, better goal difference, only a few goals off Coleraine. It's so doable all of a sudden.
I resemble that Loughgall remark. I think you'll find, of course, I know Glenavon fans will look and go, those three losses are all against top sides in the league, so they'll be looking to add more players to this side. Nuriel want to add more players to this side, particularly if they can get more experience at the back, and perhaps a new fresh set of eyes or new ideas could change things there for them. And I didn't have many interactions with them, but you know, I wish Gary Boyle all the best. He had 7 years of that club. It was always very nice to me during any interactions I had with him. And you can tell that he was disappointed from his own personal point of view, because that was his job as the manager. But also, I think as someone connected to the club and close to the club, I'm sure he's a fan as well. He did, you know, he's disappointed to see them languishing down there. We're going to return back up to near the top of the league. Cliftonville defeat a sorry Crusaders. They gave up a fight, but they were not able to completely fight off this just rampaging dynamo that is this Cliftonville attacking front line. Great day for you, Mr. McCallion, as well.
Yes, it absolutely was. I think Crusaders, as you say, they're a bit more of a fight. They were better this time round than the last time they came to Solitude. I mean, we're just playing absolutely brilliant at the moment. Every time I go to see us, you know, the football, so it's always great to get results, but it's even better that the football that we're playing at the moment is just such a joy to watch. It really is good.
What do you see is the change? Is it just that these players are playing up their ability? There's a fluidity to this team that just wasn't there before? Or what is it? Have Jared Little and Jim Magilton brought something that perhaps people aren't focusing on the week by week that we can't see?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. Like, obviously, when you're winning, it's easy to say this, but we're playing with a lot of confidence. You know, everyone has their head up. Everyone's playing to the best of their ability at the moment. There's a real togetherness. What I like is that we're not trying to force things. You know, there's a real sort of smart play in our football. You know, if the pass isn't on, there's no issue with going backwards. The keeper's happy to get involved as well. We go right back and rebuild from the start. It's almost simple things that you're taught when you're a kid. Not to, you know, put down what Jim's doing, because obviously it's a great job, but he's not overcomplicating it. And I think that's really what's benefiting us at the moment, along with some absolute quality in there. You know, Ronan and Rory Hill and Ben Wilson as well. There's so many. Casey has been absolutely brilliant this season as well. There's loads of them are just performing really, really well.
That must feel great as a Reds fan. I think everybody wants to see some player pop up from their reserve team or a young player come through the club and become a mainstay in the team. He is that. He represents Cliftonville now as this tough tackling physical force in that team, who just seems to love putting on that shirt and fighting for every ball.
100%, as you say there, it's a, you know, it's a sort of Cliftonville blueprint almost, of, you know, there's a core in that team who grew up with the club, or, you know, there were fans from a young age coming through the ranks and then making it into the team. So it's great to see. You know, at the start of the season, he was playing decent and people were sort of talking about him, going, you know, is this maybe going to be a season? And in the last couple of months, he's just really, he's our core defender back there, really, for me. Because not only is he good, obviously, defending, but he's brilliant coming out from the back. He's so confident.
Ben Wilson, never doubt him. Was he on a little blip two games a few weeks ago? And he's there doing his star performance. Like, it shows you how brilliant he's been this season. That you see him go more than one game without a goal, and you're thinking, oh, has he been found out? Is it all going to tumble? But no, he could claim both goals if he wanted to. But I'm sure Roy Hill will not want to let him have that first goal. I mean, he has so much, Ben Wilson. He's nippy, he's fast. I think his pass last weekend for that goal near the end is not being talked about. I mean, it's just precision, you know. These players who are the fox in the box, in and out, little predators, they almost seem like footballers. You just do nothing but score goals. But I mean, his link-up play and passing is massively underrated.
We were at that game, and the angle we had of it, Ross got a great video. That good of a pass, he lost himself as a blue man. Just, oh, what a pass. He couldn't believe it.
This, of course, on the Around the Grounds NI Instagram account, yes?
That is the one.
Quick plug.
Quick plug there.
Looking at this game, Crusaders didn't falter in the occasion. They were able to bring themselves up for it, and they fought back, and Lloyd Anderson gets a scrappy goal, and it sets up this second half where it could have gone anywhere. But you look at the Crusaders 11, and you can see 1-11, they are great quality Irish League players with a great amount of experience, and I know they've been on a torrid run recently, but you could just compare the benches between these two sides, and I think this is really what helped, bar the quality and the nature of the play. But you know, the names the Reds were able to bring on the pitch compared to Crusaders, Cliftonville have Gartside, and then you've got Pepper, Stewart, Curran, Gormley, Ashford, as well as Stephen McGuinness. Williamson is there as a quality backup for the Crews. James Thielen, we've all rated him highly as a young prospect in the league. Then you have Mikhail Kennedy as well, who is hopefully going, if you're a Crews fan, going to prove himself as a Premiership player eventually. Oscar McKenna, Jonathan James, Carter Bond. These are young players, and when you have an already stretched squad and you're not getting the results, it points to the situation that you're in right now if you're a Crews fan.
Yeah, 100%. I think at the start of the season we had a bit of a sort of similar vibe about us, but you know, with Hill coming back, Curran starting to get played. Curran, for a long time, he was on the bench, and for whatever reason Jim wasn't picking him, but he's coming off the bench now. Ashford, brilliant off the bench every time. Joe back from his injury, Malin back into the team as well. So I think we were sort of in a similar sort of position to Crusaders at the start, as you say, with a bit of a stretched squad. But now we're sort of benefiting from decent depth off the bench in terms of, you know, experience and quality. Whether Crusaders do much business in January here to strengthen that depth is interesting to see. I don't think they will, though.
They're in that same position as Glentoran. They're on 34 points, but have that game in hand against Limfield, so they're very much now sitting down looking up at the other three. You mentioned a few players there. Tell me what the gut feeling is around these names that I'm going to say to you, because there's been a lot of talk in the days leading up to this window opening after Auld Lang Syne. Talk of Malin is drawing interest from the League of Ireland, specifically Dundalk. It looks as though Gallagher, there's been no denial from the club that he is prepared to go to Larne at the end of the season. And now there's talk that Ben Wilson, we always knew that he was going to be a player who would interest many clubs, both in the league and beyond. But, and we've talked in this podcast about the idea of, do the Reds cash in while he's still under contract? After the turnaround that they've had in regards to what their expectations was, like I remember even talking to you, and the idea of a title race just seemed to be fantasy. And I know I'm the man that predicted they wouldn't even finish in the top six. But now that you're there and you're in it, you want to keep all these players together, surely?
It's going to be tough to keep them all after. I mean, this is the hard thing about not being full-time when you have such good quality players. You know, how do you keep the likes of Ben Wilson? Or you can't really blame Gallagher in a sense. You know, I think that's been the general sort of take from a lot of Reds fans in terms of, you know, he's that good of a player. He's going to get money up there. And Lauren, you can see why he's moving. It's frustrating. It's not that, you know, we can just sort of accept that. But no, I think we need to keep all of them till the end of the season and do the best job we can. As you say, we're in that title race there. So, you know, we're already exceeding expectation. There's a long way to go. There's nothing to say that we can't go on to win if we keep that quality.
Could you stomach any of these players moving on in January to a rival if it meant that there was investment to improve the club later on? Or is this a case of that money is, it's better to have one in the hand and two in the bush? We ride this horse till the end of the season, and even if it means some of these fellas are going for nothing, we need to give this, because we're in the seat now. You know who your competitors are. You've got a chance after 23 games. Is that the feeling now? It's forget about the future. It's just about now.
Yeah, it's a real tough one though, because, you know, obviously, don't get me wrong, those three players are absolute quality, especially Ben Wilson. But we're not just those players, if that makes sense. If they do move on, I don't think our season falls apart. If they moved on in January, you know, one of them or something. But I think I would prefer to keep them, do as well as we can this season. And if it means they go for nothing at the end, like Ben Wilson, you know, so be it. I think him there for the full, especially if he's going to arrival, I think that's the one thing. You know, Gallagher going to Lorne, fair enough. I think if Ben Wilson stays in the league next year, but not with us, I think that one will be, it would leave quite a bad taste in the mouth, especially because I think he's better than the Irish League. I think he would almost be doing himself a bit of a misservice if he stayed there.
This feels like a relationship where they've just said, it's not you, it's me. And then they go out with someone kind of in an equal bracket finance and looks wise. You're like, come on, like, go out with Brad Pitt, don't go out with Dave from accounts, come on. Let's talk about the final team in that title race trio. Lorne, they win out. They are able to shake off that little wobble they had against Carrick last season on Boxing Day and are able to go into Taylor's Avenue, get the win, get the points. And it was another easy day at the office for Lorne. Carrick made it difficult for them. Let's not pretend they didn't. They get a goal back. Perkins had a huge chance as well. But when we saw Lorne at their best, oftentimes it looked like this. Week in, week out, they get the win, they move on. Perhaps aren't thrilling on the pitch in the same way that a Cliftonville can be or a Linfield can be in those big games. But when you read the numbers out, that's all that really matters.
Yeah, not the most thrilling, but Lorne just do not care about that. You know, they'll go and they'll beat Loughall 1-0 at home and you'll read nothing about it because, yeah, of course they did. And they'll keep trundling on, getting results. You know, looking at their last sort of results, I'm not even going to count how many wins that is, bar one draw away to Ballymena. But, you know, you have your slip-ups and they haven't really put a foot wrong since in the league. And they just, as you say, it's just, we'll do our business, there'll be no flash. And we'll go away, we'll go two up, and then, hey, get one back that you want because you're not getting that second one. We'll park the bus. And, you know, it worked so well for them last year. And as you said earlier, don't rule out a bit of investment from Lorne again in January after it worked so well for them last year. So certainly well in a title race.
You've got to be thrilled if you're a Lorne fan that Leroy Miller, for all his size, is scoring consistently. And you've got Andy Ryan now on the score sheet and consistently again. You've had a real rotation there between Bonus and Andy Ryan and Paul O'Neill. Injuries or form, and they will want to have a really settled team going forward. And no doubt there will be some unknown names coming in that can fill out that team. So another win for them. Carrick, another good showing, but they don't get the result. You mentioned there that Lorne draw against Ballymena. Perhaps it's looking better by the week, because that Ballymena showgrounds, they're making it a difficult place now for Ballymena. They look sturdy at the back. And now, after what 6-7 games, was it? They're finally scoring goals. Huge result for Jim Irvine's Sky Blues. All thanks to the absolute diligence and hard work from young Noah Stewart. Again, the thorn in the side of Coleraine. My goodness, the Bandsiders have just had this awful season that has had its ups and its downs. And now they're looking at 3 losses in a row. They lose on Boxing Day, which we've already said just adds that extra bit of spice, that extra bit of salt in the wound. Going away and to lose against one of the bottom 2 sides at the time who can't score, haven't scored in well over a month, and they put 3 past you. Bad, bad times up at Coleraine right now.
It's definitely not a good time to be a Bandsider. It's and you can see it on Twitter as well. There's a lot of unrest and a lot of questions being asked. I saw them against Limfield actually 2 games ago, and they were poor that day as well. There was just not really much going on with them. It sort of looked like they just turned up 11 men on the field and just sort of, you know, we're here to play 90 minutes. They came alive a wee bit in the last sort of 20 minutes or so of that game, but at that point it was just too little too late. Limfield had already run over them, and it's hard to see what's exactly going wrong this season for them, but there's just no life in that squad at the moment, it seems.
Outside of that victory against Loch Awe, in 2 months, their only other victory in the league is all the way back on the 4th of November against the Crews. You know, this is a team who definitely are having struggles at the back. They flash up front, but that's rotating with McDade or Shevlin or Mitchell, and there's a variety of reasons from suspensions, injuries of why that's happening. But I don't think if all 3 of us took a page away, and I don't think we'd be able to name what a consistent best starting 11 for Coleraine right now. And I know there's been a lot of changes in that team and they've had to ride the wave at times, but there was expectation this year to be a solid top 6 side, and they don't look like that right now. They are looking behind them at Carrick, Glenavon, maybe even cheekily Loch Awe, and the atmosphere just seems to be down in the dumps completely, and I can see it. It's clear as anything. I see him as the manager who has given Coleraine their biggest stretch of success in 20 years. I think that's without a doubt. But it's out there. There is a contingent now of Coleraine fans who think something needs to change. Is that fair on Owen Kearney?
Based off the running form that they're having, you can't say it's not fair. But then when you balance on the other hand, you know, greatest manager of the last while up at Coleraine, you'd think he has a little bit more credit in the bank. There's also the school of thought, you know, are you better with the devil you know? I know I was certainly in that camp with Glenavon before they sacked Gary Hamilton. But then, you know, look how that's turned around. So, you know, he's been, bar the year he went to Samarin, he's been there a long time. And it could, once again, just be a case of things are getting a wee bit stale, no new ideas coming in. You wonder, would a new manager, say, Dean Shields, out of work at the minute, would he spark something, get them playing nice football again? But I feel like it's a bit of a poison chalice, that job, because until this investment comes in, realistically, what are Coleraine aiming to do? Because it was easy to say at the start of the season, but now I just don't think they break into that top 5. I think they're just so far ahead of them. The league's turning from a 6-6 into a 5-7.
They're a team who likely might need to take a step back before they take a few steps forward. I believe the balance of the team isn't exactly there, which is why they've had these weird struggles against Dungannon there a couple of weeks ago. Ballymena, who couldn't score, and perhaps just the nature of the day added to that result. But the other thing that's hanging over the club is that there's talk of them going full-time. If they were to go full-time, then Owen Kearney has a decision there and then. Is he prepared or wants to go full-time with his other commitments? Some people have said to me that that's going to be a question come the end of the season, and does that push it forward? He has so much kudos in the bank. Many people will remember an awful run now. It's well over a decade ago, but the awful run that he had as co-reign manager, it was the dark before the light that came, and many people probably don't want receipts out there calling for his head then and the success that he brought. But it's a team down in the dumps, and the only way is up, I'm sure they'll think, but something has to change there, from players coming in, from style of player to formation, because it's just not working on a consistent basis. But let's give Ballymena their kudos. They have been waiting for a result like this. We've talked in recent times about how they've stayed sturdy at the back. They concede to Corian in the first half from a set piece, and I'm sure many others who are watching it from outside the Ballymena showgrounds are thinking, here we go, it's the get-right game for Corian that they're going to pile on now. But Ballymena fight back. They get the goals before that McKendry red card, which I think was a red card because he dived in with 2 feet. It's late on in the game anyway. So it was 2-1, and then Ballymena were able to put a bow on it with that 95th minute goal from Noah Stewart. So to get McMurray scoring, to beat your rivals at home in front of what they're saying is a sellout crowd, after a season which has been such a difficult dirge, I imagine if you're a Ballymena fan, this was make it all feel so sweet.
Partly it was sort of predicted this season that it wasn't going to be brilliant for them. I don't think that maybe expected it to be just as bad as it has been. But they'll want them to remember what it's like to be scoring goals up there and not just have it as a Boxing Day treat. Hopefully that keeps up for them. And it'll definitely make it interesting down there. You know, if they keep scoring goals and they're winning games and they're catching up on Dungannon, you know, that side of the table sort of comes to life. As we were speaking about earlier, if Newry can turn it around as well with whatever manager comes in, the sort of three teams at the bottom there could be quite interesting come the end of the season.
Any win is a big swing at that part of the league. And an example of that is the game I was at on Boxing Day between Loughall and Dungannon. Dungannon win there and they make that 6 points between them and Newry. And if Ballymena don't get a result there, it was a 6 points between them. It's 9, and this is a team who were scoring goals, putting it to teams like Linfield. But they are without Matty Lusty after getting stretchered off against Glentoran the week before, a game they felt as though they could have got something out of, maybe should have got something out of, if it wasn't for the red card that Marin had. And they will feel hugely frustrated with that game against Loughall, because first off, the first Benji McGee goal, I don't think there's any video evidence that really shows it one way or the other. But for me, that was offside for that goal. But he's able to avoid the flag, get the early goal at that point. Then Dungannon are able to bring it back, claw back to 1-1 before the halftime whistle. Nice little fight from, I believe it was Ethan McGee. He's able to get into the box. Then it falls to Dylan, who, I mean, everything for Dungannon that first half went through Dylan in the base of that midfield, and he's able to pick his spot beautifully. There was plenty of players in front of him, but he finds the net. And then it's a back and forth second half, and Dungannon had their chances. McGinty heads over from a corner. McGee is able to break through, and I mean, he is just inches away from poking his boot on that ball after getting around the keeper, and between the keeper and Ray, they get the ball. That would have been a certain goal. And then Benji McGee, who was the best player on the pitch. He has height. He has speed. He was happy to chase down balls all day. But he doesn't just have speed. He has a bit of height to him as well. 95th minute, I had it as. Big high ball into the box. And Lakeview was bouncing. Nice wee crowd there in County Armagh. And Loughall are able to snap that, was it 7-game winless run? And get a huge 3 points to extend that little gap between them and the bottom side, which I'm sure they were thinking, oh no, we're finally going to get dragged into this. And they go into 2024. They've got one more game now against a down-and-dumps Coleraine, but big, big win for Loughall there, I thought.
Yeah, huge win. Great crowd there. Surprised me a little bit. The whole village must have been out there, small settlement and all that. But just brilliant result for them. You look back at the end of the season, both these sides, and they'll maybe look at this game and think moments. That Turker save where he claws it off the toe of the striker, that huge moment, and then you know, Loughgall have the penalty save. They're thinking maybe this isn't our day. We're going to get dragged into the mire a wee bit. But then Benji McGee, you know, as he does, just scoring goals at the minute. Great header back across the goal. And yeah, that was a great crowd and they went wild, obviously, at that. And just all of a sudden, things looking a wee bit rosier than they were just before for Loughgall.
It's another tale for Dungannon where the eye test, they pass it and you think as though they should be doing more. They struggled a wee bit without Lusty. Now, Lusty's got plenty of penalty goals himself, but he gave that team confidence and they had to rely on other players. And I just know, because I chatted to Dungannon people after that game, they feel as though that's not 1 point dropped, that's 3 points dropped, because there's a few different decisions that just didn't go their way. Ethan McGee was through and then he was called back for a foul. Advantage wasn't played. I mean, they're tearing their hair out. But this is all about one-on-one battles in this sport, and Benji McGee was able to win it on numerous occasions when it really, really mattered. And I'm sure Loughgall fans will not want me to say this, but he is destined to be a big player higher up in the league. He just has everything. He can beat a defender. He has such big stature to him. You know, he's not Jordan Owens, but I mean, he's got a bit about him. He can dribble as well. There's one point where he's able to take it round other players. And for Loughgall thinking, oh, they missed their own penalty on that day with 10 minutes to go, they're able to get it. And it now sets them up on 25 points. One behind Glenavon, two behind Carrick Rangers, and three behind Coleraine. In fact, if they're able to win against Coleraine, I think they would jump them in the league. What a season they've had.
Oh, brilliant. Just on Benji McGee, obviously I love him at Linfield. I think he's brilliant up top. But I think just his style of play, I think he's Cliftonville all over.
I was thinking about it.
I think he's just so well suited. And obviously, you know, Joe the goal, not getting any younger. Maybe he's sort of a bit of a protege. And, you know, what better man to learn the game off?
People see him as a wide player. And I get that. But I actually think he can play. He pretty much laid the line there in that game. And that's because he is happy to attach himself to a centre-back and go, this ball's going over the top and it's up to you and me, mate. See who gets this first, and he can physically push them out of the way most times, and he can outrun them. And I honestly could see him at any team in this league because he can have that, like Bonus does almost. Like, he's happy to run against anybody. I could see him going anywhere, and I think he will have perhaps he'll go beyond the league, but I think he'll have a long career in this league. Look at him up there. He's with there on Ben Wilson, 13 league goals, 21 years old. Two there on Tuesday, big time player. And Loughgall have a lot to thank him for. Okay, we're getting one more game, which you usually don't get between now and Auld Lang Syne in 2024. And we've got some juicy games still to go. Where are we going to go to first? Right, you talked about it earlier on. Linfield go to Inver Park. Full scheduled games on Saturday. They do have that game in hand over Larne, but like both these teams are going into this game on fine form. Perhaps it screams a draw, but this could be a thriller if we get an early goal, I think.
It's a lovely idea, but I don't think Larne Linfield has ever been a thriller in any game in history. I think, I hate to say it, but I think it's got Larne 1-0. All over it, unfortunately.
I have to say, when you said that fixture there, Peter, you might have seen my face. Larne Linfield at Inver Park is a fixture I just hate. Every time I go, it is the most boring game. Every time. I can see it being a 0-0, if I'm honest with you.
It's like a classic cup final, you know. Nobody wants to make the mistake, so it's edgy, it's tense. No great flair players on either side, both sort of stifled. Two great defences in operation. I think it's one of them where just two great teams cancelling each other out. And, you know, I obviously said a Larne win, but I think it'll be the odd goal either way.
It's all about those one-on-ones. Like, you just saw how Linfield were able to sweep away any attacks that Glentoran tried to get going. They were happy to stifle O'Connor out wide. They were jockeying and pushing away any Glentoran striker who had the ball in the box. And I think they've played Larne enough to know that they need to get forward and close down Ives and Cosgrove. They need to hold off the likes of Ryan and Bonus. And as long as they don't get beat in between the lines in midfield by Miller or anything else, they can hold that deep line. And what they might have now, which they haven't had previously, is a Joel Cooper, who is lighting up the league, who will happily take anybody on one-on-one. They have Fitzpatrick now, who only needs a couple of inches to swing his boot around it and get a goal in the box. And what's different here is that Lahr know that there's a big swing if they don't win this. And I know Linfield often turtle themselves worrying about, as long as you don't lose, we can do better against the other teams. And they've proven that they don't step up against bottom six sides broadly. But there's just something where Linfield feel like they've got more confident and they've got good results recently and might just be a bit more up for it. They were able to break that hoodoo over Lahr there a couple of weeks ago in the cup at Inver as well. And perhaps if they can nick a goal out of somewhere in the first half, Lahr could open up as they push forward and get caught. I'm going to say this is going to be a 2-0 win for Linfield, which I don't think the rest of the league want. I think everybody's pulling for Lahr here. But I've just seen a different Linfield this year, and it could be really boring, but I think they have the chance to make something out of nothing.
I think what you're saying about Linfield wanting to sit back is spot on. And I think you saw it with the Glens. You know, we went to the Oval, tried to sit back, beat 4-0. But then yesterday, if you actually go out and attack these teams, you know, you find their fragilities, and you end up winning the game. I think that's kind of half the problem with Lahr. Nobody really wants to have a go at them because they're so potent going the other way. But if, you know, if you really go for it, nothing to lose. And what you say about Lahr, maybe they also don't want to lose. But I've changed my mind. 1-1.
It's the midfield battle for Lahr. I know they have Miller, but the other two around just don't have that same. I think Sule was just a player that Linfield hated to play against, and it created those one-on-ones with whoever it may have been, a Fallon or Shields. But they just don't have that similar kind of player now, and I'm sure they would love that to be Ben Kennedy come January if they can get a fit Ben Kennedy as well. But I just think it's roles reversed here, and I just fancy, I've seen Linfield, they could have fallen away against Dungannon and they win that. They could have fallen away earlier on the season against Carrick and they're able to bring that back to a draw. This is a different Linfield side, and I agree, 60% of me says it's going to be a 0-0 draw, but I think the goal will come out of nothing, and I don't know if Lahr will be able to react in the same way. I just don't see Linfield letting Lahr come at them and take the lead willy-nilly in the same way that Lahr were able to come out in the second half against Crusaders and just work things around and get the goal. A part of me just don't think Linfield will be broken down in that way. It will be something odd one way or the other. So yeah, I'm going to go 2-0 Linfield there. Another big game. Can Cliftonville get their revenge against Glentoran at the Oval? I know so many Reds fans are seething that they did not get the result against Glentoran. They were the far better side there. And it's a tricky little fixture when these two teams play. I've got to believe, particularly in quick succession, this is Cliftonville's to lose.
Yeah, you're buying on with all of that there, Peter. I completely agree with you. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going on Saturday. I really am looking forward to it. But there is still a part of me that is remembering Ross, like a month ago now or whatever, when it was 4-0. And that is slightly in the back of my head. It kind of came out of nowhere at the time. So there is a part of me that is a bit worried. We've been going so well. You know, at some point we are going to, there's a pessimist in me, we are going to slip up at some point for a result. And I hope it's not this weekend, especially with Lahr and Linfield playing each other. It's a game we must win at that side of the table.
I think Cliftonville can stand tall, especially early in the game. And we saw how Glentoran were able to blitzkrieg Linfield earlier on, get the goal, and they grew in confidence. There's just so many like danger men. You know, we to take it back to our own little level, you know, we all play games where we can see there's one, but he's the person, you know, take him away at five aside and we'll go from there, you know, and we'll try and deal with the rest. Cliftonville have just so many of them. They have so many, from Wilson to Roy Hill and Roden Hill, who's finding himself there in that forward role now, and even Malin. I mean, Malin gets the ball, and you don't know if he's going to get caught by the first defender or he's going to take it around everybody. I mean, he gets up and going. He is terrifying from wide. Turner can obviously do a bit of business. I just think that Cliftonville don't look scared, and they're willing to go at any time of the game. As long as they don't lose those moments of concentration, which they did in that other game, I think they'll have enough to terrify Glentoran and get a result here. I'm going to say 3-0 Cliftonville. I think it's they're just in great form.
Yeah, I don't think I should give you a prediction there. I'm going to say 2-0, I think, Cliftonville.
I go handy win for Cliftonville, and see if Linfield and Lauren draw and then Cliftonville win. That's the top three are on 56, 55, 54 points. What more motivation do you need to try to really get yourself up in the mix? I just think they'll win handy enough, yeah.
Crusaders host Carrick Rangers. Carrick, who all those experienced players always look dangerous attacking-wise. They can get a goal almost from anywhere. Danny Perkins has proven that. He'll score from 2 yards or 80. This is dangerous for the Crews because they would see Carrick Rangers as a team they want to get right against. But it's my belief that I think after going against Lorne and that sharpening of the knife that you often have against those teams, I think Carrick could do one here, and it's because of their attacking threat.
I think you're right. It's a game really the Crusaders have to win with all the teams in front playing each other. But I do think they are going to slip up, especially with, you know, Perkins in that Carrick team. You know, if it's another halfway line goal, I wouldn't be surprised the way he's been playing this season. There's plenty of goals in Carrick, and Crusaders haven't been overly impressive so far. So I could see a Carrick, maybe like a Carrick 2-1.
Like, if you look at the foundations of that Carrick Rangers team, I know it's not the same formation-wise, but the way they set themselves up is two strikers up top. They're not exactly like Ryan and Bonus, but they're like a Diet Coke Lauren in a way, where you have these two strikers up top, super, super dangerous wide men in Forsyth and Tilney from deep. And you have a bit of steel in the middle of the park with Crow, Cushley, you can find a pass, get a goal. I just remember that game at Seaview where Crusaders were able to withstand it for the first part of the half, but in the end faltered in the second half. I think Crusaders could fall here, and I'm going to give it 3-1 to Carrick. Maybe 3-2-1. I think the Crews will get a goal, but it'll be another disappointing afternoon for me at Seaview. So, shock alert there. Do you see there being a shock for 2 weeks in a row when Ballymena go to Glenavon?
I think both teams, strangely, would shake your hand on a draw now. Maybe Glenavon fans would disagree, but I think looking, Glenavon will just look to get out of there with a point to try to get what they can. I think Ballymena will obviously be flying high and could even, you know, catch Glenavon unawares a little bit. But for me, yeah, I could see a draw there. Always an exciting game in the past, that fixture.
Exciting as in like boots above the knee kind of exciting?
If that's what you're into, that is exciting.
If you've enjoyed your time with little cards that you've got at Christmas time, usually that game's a good one to see the red variety being handed out. It's not the same kind of big battle for seventh rivalry that it was in seasons gone by, but you're absolutely right. Ballymena come in with a defence that has been bending rather than breaking every week, and that's has to be thanks to Jim Irvine finally getting those players organised. Glenavon are coming off, though, knocking four in. You've got Peter Campbell linking up. Look, if you've got Danny Wallace spinning in the box and having a striker's finish, anything can happen for Glenavon right now. Prendergast is getting goals, and I've got to say everything's a bonus now for Glenavon for me, because they've got out of that danger zone area of relegation threatened stressy games against Loch Awe and Dungannon, and now they're going, we're playing better, we're scaring the big boys without getting the results, they're going to get some new players in. So I think they'll want to win this game, and I think they'll get it 2-0. It screams a 1-1 draw and a disappointing day for Glenavon, but I think they'll be able to get the points there. Now, will Newry bounce back days after losing their manager? They go against Dungannon Swifts at home. for the Swifts at Stanmore Park. The one thing I didn't say in that game for Dungannon against Loughall is that I almost don't feel like I can count Dungannon as like a relegation team, even though they're only a couple of points away from Ballymena and Newry. I think they've proven in recent weeks that they have figured it out, and I think they've got enough steel here. And yes, they could do with the goal scorer. Devine's out. Lusty looks to have done something to his shoulder or his collarbone. That'll be disappointing. Plenty of Dungannon fans were saying, just when things got good, disappointment again. I think this team has a bit of steel to them, and I think it's going to show out, and I think they're going to win potentially 2-0.
Yeah, I think you're right. As you said, you know, to give them their flowers, they played well on Boxing Day, and they were unlucky with the late conceding so late on, and I think they're able to just really be, you know, they'll be really down. I don't think they're really going to show much, unfortunately. I'm going to go even bigger. I think 4-0 to Dungannon. I think it could be quite a big result for them, and maybe quite a good result for their season.
I can see it. It's one of those games where you can put to bed when you, it's those swings, you can put to bed, really, Newry, you ain't catching us kind of thing, with plenty more games to go. And I like a lot about this Dungannon team, and they're one or two away. Of course, Tom Squire's another one out, so yes. Now, can I see the likes of McGovern and others maybe catching Dungannon in the same way that Coleraine and Loughall did? Of course I can't, but on this occasion I'm going to back Dungannon, and you're probably a braver man than me going for four. I thought I was being a bit over the top. Finally, Loughall, Coleraine. Could Loughall just make this festive period feel even worse for Coleraine fans? I'm sure every Coleraine fan will go into this game the biggest pessimist, but I think this is probably a score draw for me.
Yeah, I think this is the definition of a pick'em. You can really make an argument either way. Coleraine, you know, could turn up and be Coleraine and win, but then Loughall, I just kind of fancy them here. I think Benji McGee, you know, we could do a podcast about him alone if you're listening.
I think we have, to be honest. I think the podcast may as well be Benji McGee.
You know, he's just, you can never write Loughall off when he's in this sort of form, especially against such an out of sorts Coleraine. I fancy Loughall to pinch something.
And of course, Coleraine are going to be without McKendry because he got sent off, and oftentimes he's been the man that's been dragging the whole team by the collar himself. We'll have to see if we'll see Shelvin on the pitch. Andrew Mitchell missed a big chance against Ballymena there, so down in the dumps. But 1-11, Coleraine have a side who could compete and can beat Loughall, but this feels a lot more competitive. 1-11 coming up this Saturday afternoon, so yeah, I'm probably just going to go 1-1, 2-2, two teams with poor defences and sparky attacks going forward. But boys, thank you very much for jumping in during the little period between Christmas and New Year's Eve day. It's one of my favourite periods of the year, just because I get to enjoy football, a bit of hedonism, family board games, all the rest. For you guys, what's the plan? Just chill out until the big bad January comes and forces you back into big grown-up activities?
Chill out, soak in all the football we can, and then we'll worry about January when January comes. We're not talking about that yet.
And of course, you were talking earlier on, just before we go, about that beautiful angle you had there on your account. If they like the cut of your jib and want to get some Irish League coverage via social media, how can they become a mega fan of Around the Grounds NI? What is it?
So Around the Grounds NI, we're just going to matches, we're clipping them up, vlogging, if you will, reviewing them with scores, atmosphere, facilities, all that. Find us on Instagram, Around the Grounds NI, TikTok the same, and then Twitter, we're AT Grounds NI. Just waffling over there, talking absolute nonsense, if that's what you're into.
And fellas, just to make it personal, where can they follow you online?
Well, yeah, it's become a thing now. I just keep messing mine up. So it's now in the bios of...
At Real President Donald Trump is me.
Exactly. I think it was about two more podcasts away from saying that. So our personals are they're in the bios of both Instagram and Twitter.
Guys, it's always the delight when I have yous back. Nice little party atmosphere for the Boxing Day pod. Thanks again, and looking forward to chatting to you soon.
Thanks for having us, Peter.
Thanks for having us, Peter. Joy as always.
And appreciate that. You may have been new here. This may be your first time indulging in this podcast. You may have been to a game for the first time in a long time and you thought, hey, I want to hear a bit of chat about that. Well, I hope you enjoyed it. You must have, because you're here all the way at the very end. But as you are here, I may try and grab you and encourage you to give a bit of love to the podcast by following us on social media. We are Kicking Match on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all one word. You can follow this podcast or subscribe to it on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It means you sometimes get a little notification to say, hey, boom, the new podcast is up, if you might want to hear the next one. Outside of that, you can also email me, kickingmatch@gmail.com, or you can, of course, ask your smart speaker to please play Kicking Match, an Irish League podcast, if you want to take this hands-free. Guys, that was the final Kicking Match of 2023. The next time I'll be with you, it will be post Hoot Nannies and all the rest. I hope you have a lovely new year, whatever way you do it. And I, of course, want to say a massive thank you to everybody who's followed the podcast this year. If you've only listened to one or all of them, I'm so, so thankful. That little Spotify Wrapped a couple of weeks ago, which listed all the people who, there's over 100 people there who this is their number one podcast they listen to. And I'm really thankful. It makes doing this between Christmas and New Year's totally worth it. I always love chatting about Irish League football, and this has been a nice chance for me to reach out to all these random guests. There's not one of these guests that I've had since podcast one that I knew or would have talked to before I did this podcast. Bar Michael Clark, the very first podcast that I did, every single one of them have answered an email or a tweet DM, and I feel so privileged that they spend their time talking to me, and I feel so lucky that there's people out there contacting me, all these people that I've met from doing this. The Irish League is clearly a massive passion of mine, and doing this would scratch that itch enough for me anyway. But people listening, supporting, talking, having that conversation with me just makes it so worthwhile and adds so much joy to my life. So thank you. Lots of love to you and your family. Enjoy whatever's left of your break if you're not working every day of the week, which I'm sure plenty of you are. Until 2024. Cheerio. And I will catch up with you very, very soon.